Matthew chapter number 9 in your Bibles. Chapter number 9. We'll read verses 35 through 38. I'll read the odd verses, and then if you'll join me on the even numbered verses, we'll read down responsively through the 38th verse of Matthew chapter 9. If you'll go ahead and stand with me, we'll read Matthew chapter number 9. I'll begin there on verse number 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come again. Father, we ask that you please put your hand of blessing on the service. Lord, preachers prepared the sermon for us. And Lord, I pray that you prepare our hearts to receive what he has for us. I pray, Lord, that we'd listen attentively to what you have. And I pray that you just bless the special and then the preaching to follow. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Made each star in heaven, he created earth and sea. He's the keeper of all knowledge, what is past and what will be. Yet he offers his great wisdom, so you will not lose your
in a time of confusion or discouragement to go to that book and grab hold to a verse, amen, and just hang on to it because it's true, wonderful singing. This is the last message in the acrostic of the word heart. We're on the letter T tonight, And I want to speak to you for a few minutes on the subject, the truth about His harvest. The truth about His harvest. Look what He said in verse number 37. He used the word truly, truthfully. The harvest truly or truthfully is plenteous. I want to talk about the truth about His harvest tonight. Heavenly Father, thank You for the privilege to enjoy all this good music and have our hearts blessed. And Lord, to sing together the good song. Thank You for putting those words and that melody in Dan's mind and heart. And Lord, the joy of singing it together as a church and hearing this report from the prison. And just the whole evening has been fantastic. Thank You for it. I don't want to mess it up, Lord. I want to add to it through the help of Your Holy Spirit. I yield myself to You. And Holy Spirit, would You speak to us through Your word, please, tonight. And we'll thank You. In Christ's name we ask it. And amen. Our hearts for His harvest. Rex, thank you, sir. Very good banner. Once again, you and Jackie, thank you. Very nice banner for our church. Our hearts for His harvest. What a great opportunity is before us as we consider this all-important matter of missions and the Lord's harvest. I was thinking, I really would like to have a heart for what is on God's heart. I really would. I'd like for my heart to be knit together with His heart in this matter of getting the gospel to the world. I know that in a couple of places in the Gospels, Jesus taught that the cares of this world and the abounding, abundant sinfulness of this world would distract His people and cause their hearts, here's the words He used, to wax cold. That scares me. Scares me when I sense my heart getting cold. It scares me when I sense a person's heart in the church getting cold, when their smile is gone. The countenance is downfallen. And it scares me because a Christian's heart can become cold. Now, if Jesus taught that as a reality, and He did, then I need to be aware of the potential that faces me, and so do you. That potential is that we could very easily lose our heart for His harvest. We could lose it. And we're talking about the word heart here. Last Sunday morning, a heart for His harvest. And having a heart for His harvest begins with our eyes. He told the disciples, lift up your eyes and look. So you got to get your eyes up off yourself, off your world, from the four boundaries, the walls that make up the four boundaries of your house. Look beyond your property to the multitudes that need to be saved. And Jeremiah said his eye affected his heart. So it begins with our eyes as we have a heart for His harvest. The letter E, last Sunday night, the expense for His harvest. There is a cost for the harvest. Letter A, last Wednesday night, asleep during His harvest. I don't want to be asleep during the harvest. I want to be alive and alert and awake. And this morning, resolve for the harvest, having a commitment. It's not a matter of convenience. It's a matter of commitment. Not a matter of convenience, but a matter of commitment. And we're resolved to finish. And the encouragement that Boaz gave to Ruth to continue. And I'm fully aware of all that you're going through. That our Lord comprehends our situations. Yes, He does. And then the compensation, the recompense, and the full reward. The resolve for His harvest. And now tonight, the letter T, the truth about His harvest. You see there in verse number 37, I said earlier, Jesus used the word truly. Have you ever said to somebody, honestly? Now let me tell you something. Let me tell you the truth. You emphasize that. Okay? And let me tell you the honest truth. Like there's such a thing as a dishonest truth, I guess. I don't know. Let me tell you the honest truth. And you want to get their attention. You want somebody to listen to you and you want them to hear you. And Jesus says, let me tell you the truth about the harvest. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. The truth should keep us, help us keep a heart for the harvest. This is so simple. It's so simple. But yet, let me get with it tonight and talk a little bit about what I want to see here. Number one, the truth about the harvest. All right. This number one is this. The harvest is plenteous. That's what He said in verse 37. The harvest truly, truthfully. The harvest is plenteous. The truth about the harvest, Jesus said, is that it is plenteous, abundant, sufficient, truly, truthfully, the harvest is plenteous. Now that is our Lord's own words. Jesus made this statement after looking on, the Bible says, the multitudes in verse number 36. So here is a great crowd of people. And Jesus is moved with compassion, not pity. Not sympathy, but deep compassion. If you ever do a word study on that word in the Bible, it involves the bowels of a man's body where you feel it's not just this shallow thing. It's a very deep-seated feeling, an emotion that reaches down and grips you, like happens sometimes when you hear bad news about a relative or a friend or something, and how your stomach almost knots up. There's almost like a flip-flopping around in your bowels. That's where the word compassion comes from. And Jesus was moved with compassion, not pity, not sympathy, deep compassion that He felt down deep in His soul. And the Bible tells us He was moved with compassion for two reasons. Number one, they fainted. And number two, they were scattered like sheep. They were people in need, searching for the answer to their need, but they were like a sheep without a shepherd, wandering aimlessly in their search for the answer to their need. I want to say tonight that I believe with all my heart Jesus was not moved here because of their sickness. He was not moved here because of their disease. He was not moved here because of their hunger. Here, He was moved because of the sheer number of them who had no guidance. They had no shepherd to lead them. None whatsoever. I talked this morning about the fact that, you know, some people have gotten stuck on something good like medicine and farming and food and irrigation and clothes and all that. And that's become the end instead of a means to the end. Jesus certainly cared for the physical needs of people, but He's not moved here, friend, because they're sick. He's not moved here, friend, because they're diseased. He is moved here because they needed guidance. And He's moved with compassion. And so here Jesus talks to His disciples, His followers, those He was teaching. And He says, after He sees that multitude and He feels that compassion, deep-seated emotion in His bowels, if you will, Jesus turns to them and He says, fellas, I'm going to tell you the truth. The harvest, you see that multitude? The harvest is plenteous. Truly, there are plenty in that multitude who would accept the truth. There are plenty in that multitude who would be saved. There are plenty in that multitude who would give their hearts to Me. There's a plenty in that bunch out there that would come to Me if somebody guided them. That's what He's saying. And He's saying this is the same thing He said to them at the well in Samaria, which took place chronologically before Matthew 9. John 4 has already happened at this point. And it was the same thing He said to those men at the well there in Samaria when He said, lift up your eyes and look. And He pointed to that great big crowd of Samaritans that was coming out of the city. And He said, the harvest is right in front of you. Don't say it's 4 months out. Lift up your eyes and look at this crowd coming out of the city. The harvest is right in front of you and it is plenteous. And it was. Because the Bible says in verse 39, hear me, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying of the woman. So let me ask you, was the harvest plenteous or not? Sure it was. Sure it was. Many of that crowd believed. It is so clear. It is so clear that the harvest is a reference to soul salvation, believing in Jesus Christ and being saved. And the next verse in verse 40 of John 4, we won't turn to it. The next verse, the Bible says that the people beseech Jesus, stay with us. Stay with us. Well, that's a good sign of salvation, isn't it? It's a good sign of salvation when, man, you want, Lord, walk with, teach me, talk to me. Teach me something. And so the Bible says that He stayed for 2 days, and listen to this, in verse 41, and many more believed. So He stayed in that city for 2 more days, and many more of the Samaritans believed. Because you know why, folks? Because this is the truth. Regardless of what the devil would like for us to believe, regardless of what we tell ourselves, the harvest is plenteous. He said it was plenteous. And He recorded it for us to read today. The harvest is plenteous. Plenty in the multitude who would get saved. Now, wait a minute. Not all Samaritans in that city got saved. Not everybody in the multitude in Matthew chapter 9 would get saved. But many of them did in Samaria. And many of this crowd would if they had somebody to guide them. The harvest is plenteous. It's plenteous. We need a heart for His harvest. And the truth about His harvest is that it is still plenteous. And when you look at the multitudes, friend, you need to remind yourself that there are still plenty who would get saved. And multitudes goes beyond Bourbonnais. Multitudes goes beyond Bradley, beyond Kankakee, beyond Illinois, beyond the Midwest, beyond the United States of America, beyond North America. It goes beyond all of that. Let me tell you what multitudes is. Multitudes is 7 billion plus. Now, I mentioned last Sunday morning. I don't know how many of you done it. Don't check up because you don't have to run home and look at a picture that I encourage you to look at. But if you looked at the picture of those people gathered in that Washington, D.C. mall in January of 2009 at Obama's first inauguration, it's a massive ocean of people. But it's only 1.8 million. 25 ten-thousandths of the world's population. And when Jesus looks down, contrary to what you and I think, He doesn't just look at America. We're not the center of God's universe. I hate to burst our bubble. But He looks down at 7 billion people. And you know what He says? Out of that multitude, the harvest is still plenteous. The harvest is still plenteous. And when you start adding it up, a few get saved here in Bourbonnais, and a few get saved in Bradley, and a few get saved in Kankakee, and a few in other places in Illinois, and then across the Midwest, and then across the United States of America, North America, but into Canada, South America, Central America, Europe, Asia, Africa, Australia, across the islands of this world. When you begin to add it all up, you know what you find out, friend? There's still plenty of people that get saved. Maybe not the majority, but plenty. Because that's what Jesus said. He said truthfully, fellas. He said, now I want to tell you the honest truth. I want to speak to you truthfully. Do you see the multitude? Truthfully, the harvest is still plenteous. It's still plenteous. There are still many who would get saved. I'll tell you what's amazing, friend. What's amazing is to see, and Brother Caleb and I have talked about this from time to time, it's amazing to see the plenty open up right here in our own area. And you know how oftentimes it happens? It happens when one person gets saved. And then it opens up all kinds of avenues to talk to people you never had the opportunity to talk to before. So a lady gets saved, an elderly lady gets saved down here north of Martinton. Brother Caleb led her to the Lord. She'd been coming to church. She got baptized here some weeks ago, been coming faithfully on Sunday morning. And she calls and tells Brother Caleb, my 98-year-old mother, was it 98-year-old mother's in the nursing home, and I don't think she's saved. And could you go see her and talk to her? And I don't know who was with you, Brother Payne. I think you and Greg went down, and the lady was hard of hearing. I don't know if he told the story or not. The lady was hard of hearing, so he had to lift his voice, witnessing to the lady, and the people all across the nursing home could hear him witnessing to that lady. And that lady got saved. I'm thinking of a teenage boy that rode the bus in from Mantino and went to his Sunday school teacher, went to Brother Luke and said, my teenage brother is lost. Could you come talk to him? And so Luke goes by the house and the boy gets saved. And both the boys got baptized and I think been coming to church. I'm thinking about a couple that I was privileged to lead to the Lord a handful of years ago now. And you know, it wasn't long before they were calling me saying, hey, do you think you could come witness to our children? And I went to the city where they live to have an appointment to sit down with some of their kids and talk to their kids about Christ. And a storm came and knocked all the power out. There was no lights. And I called and said, do you still want me to come? And they said, yes, it doesn't matter. Would you still come? I'll tell you something, friend. That's a good sign of salvation right there. When you're concerned about other folks coming to Christ. And you see, one person gets saved and it opens an avenue to this person. And that opens an avenue to this person. And before you know it, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 8. I'm telling you, friend, what Jesus said is true. He said truthfully, the harvest is still plenteous. It's still plenteous. Still plenteous. I want you to take note of missionary letters. Just go by and read a few. And in that missionary letter, they'll write, you know, we had a person get saved, and now they're bringing their family and their friends, and their father-in-law came, and he brought his friend from work, and he got saved, and he brought his wife, and then they brought her parents. And friend, read the missionary letters. I read all of those missionary letters that are on those boards out there. I read them. Almost every missionary, every month, there's several letters that prove that, you know, the harvest is still plenteous. It's just the right person gets saved. It opens the door to somebody else. Now, if I want to have a heart for His harvest, I must agree with Jesus on this truth. I must agree with Him. He said the harvest is plenteous. There are still plenty of people to get saved. I'll tell you what to crush. You don't want to crush your heart for His harvest? Is to convince yourself or allow somebody to convince you or allow the devil to convince you that nobody wants to get saved. That's a lie. So how do you know? Because Jesus said it's a lie. There's a whole lot of things that Jesus taught and did in His earthly ministry that did not get recorded in this book. This did in two places. Luke chapter 10. So it must be that God in His infinite wisdom wanted you and me in 2013 to read through the Gospel of Matthew every now and again and come to these verses and be reminded that regardless of what the negativism is, that the harvest is still plenteous. I think when Paul went to Corinth, you can read it sometime, when Paul went to Corinth in Acts chapter 18, and the chief ruler of the synagogue got saved, Crispus got saved, and then the people got angry at Paul, and they were going to turn against him, and the Lord came to Paul, I think it's verse number 10, chapter 18, verse 10, and the Lord came to Paul, and He said, "Fear not," and He said, "Speak, don't hold your peace," and I love this. Listen to what He said. He said, "Don't fear, speak, and don't hold your peace, for I have much people in this city." Contrary to what the preachers are saying, contrary to what the internet says, contrary to what the end of the world people are saying, Jesus says the harvest is still plenteous. He said the harvest, this is the truth. He said, the truth is the harvest is still plenteous. Now, we need to stop trying to define plenteous and just accept what Jesus said as the truth. He said the truth about the harvest is it's plenteous. It's plenteous. It's out there. People will still get saved. Now, second of all, when you're talking about the truth about the harvest, number one, the harvest is plenteous. Boy, it's so simple. It's right here in the verse. Number two, the truth is the laborers are few. Now, that's the truth. The laborers are few. People, the problem has never been with the harvest. It's okay if it gets quiet in here. It's good for us if it gets quiet. Problem has never been with the harvest. He said the laborers are few. If I want to know the truth, the problem has always been with the workforce or the lack of it. Because the truth of the matter is, the harvest is plenteous. There's nothing wrong with the harvest. What it seems is that some of the plenty may not get reaped because there's a shortage of laborers. Shortage of workers. Because the harvest is plenteous. Now look, as hard as it is to accept, I have to come down on the side of what Jesus said in this passage right here. And I'm not talking about just for the world. I'm talking about just right here in our area. Look, it might be easy to say that the harvest in Kankakee, the Kankakee Land River, the Kankakee River Valley area, that the harvest here is almost finished. It's almost wrapped up. That's why we aren't seeing more people saved. But Jesus said the harvest is still plenty. That's what He said. The harvest is not a problem. Laborers are needed. And friend, if we have seen anything through this church ministry locally, we have seen this thing lived out in front of our eyes. The more laborers we have in the field, the more plenteous the harvest. And stop trying to tell me it doesn't work. Because there are people seated in this room tonight who 5, 6, 8 years ago were not saved and not in church. and more on Sunday morning. The problem is not the harvest. The problem is the laborers. And we have seen it with our eyes. The more laborers we have in the field, the more plenteous the harvest. Now, I was thinking about this. You know, a laborer must be trained. And we want to make sure that we are sending laborers to the field who are skilled. Have you fellas, have you ever been asked to participate in any kind of work project that you were not trained for? And when you volunteered and said, yeah, I'll do that, you know, but when you went, about all you contributed was your body. You know what I'm talking about? You guys remember, Brother Dennis, when we built the garage out there? And we had come help us put the garage together. We were going to try to put all the walls up, you know. Man, we had a bunch of guys come. And I'll be honest with you, you know, I can saw a board, I can nail a little bit, but I'm not very good at it. I'm just not. And we had guys who were skilled there, and they were busy, and they knew how to do everything. I felt like a fifth wheel standing there. I did get to help push the wall in place. I did get to do that. But there are so many times, you know, when I'm not skilled in what's going on, so I feel like I'm just a body standing there. I'm not contributing anything to the progress of the project. And you know what? Maybe we are sending bodies out to the field where laborers are needed. There's a difference. When we did that garage project, there were guys there who were laborers. They were skilled. They knew how to cut, nail, saw, put together. And then there were guys like me. We're just there. And I'm glad that I was glad I was there. Now, we're going to try to help with that. So starting February 17th, which is the Sunday after Missions Conference, we're going to offer a soul winning course taught by Brother Caleb at 5:15 on Sunday evening. King's Kids starts at 5:15. Choir starts at 5:15. And if need be, we can even back the team meeting up a few minutes to get everybody cared for. But if you would like to take a soul winning course from a guy who knows how to do it, it lasts for 5 weeks. That's it. By the way, let me just say something. You know, this hands down, this man is the most aggressive soul winner in this church. When I hired him, I told him that's what I wanted him to do. What did I tell you? How many hours to spend on it? I give you a certain number of hours a week. We talked about that. 15. You're not going to take anything away from his zeal, his concern for people, his love for the lost. One of the reasons he sees a lot of people saved is because he's out there. He talks to more people. I'm not taking anything away from the other. He's out there. And I talked to him. I said, Caleb, I want you to be on the streets. And the truth of the matter is, I didn't have to kick him out of the office. I almost had to put a rope on him and bring him back in every now and again. Come on, brother. He can teach the course, and he'll be teaching the course. And in 5 weeks, you'll be able to witness to somebody. It's not going to be just straight 40 minutes of just classroom lecture. If you've been around this brother at all, anytime, you know he puts a lot of life into things that go on in teaching and everything. So you'll be able to learn how to win somebody to Christ. We'll talk about that starting on February the 17th. Now, look, when you add it all up, I'm talking about here locally and around the world, according to what Jesus said, and he said this is the truth, that the harvest is still plenteous. We just need more laborers. Skilled. Skilled workers to go. Jesus said, truly the harvest is plenteous and the laborers few. I don't know about you, but I don't want to dispute him on this. I think I'll just trust his word, like they say. Let me say this, the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. I'm done with number three, here it is. The prayers are misworded. You say, what? The prayers are misworded. Look what it said in verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let me ask you a question. Is he praying for people to be saved or is he telling us to pray for laborers? What do we pray for? Lord, give us a harvest. Lord, help us to see a harvest. Help us to see people saved. Work on hearts. Bring conviction, Holy Spirit. Bring a compunction to the souls of men, showing them their need. No, whoa, time out. Nothing wrong with praying for that. That's fine. That's great. But I'm saying that's all we do. We stop there. And we never word a prayer for what he told us to word a prayer for. We never say, Lord, send more laborers. Lord, speak to your people. Touch the hearts of the saved people. Reach down, Lord, and send some conviction, but not to the lost who needs to get saved. Send some conviction to the saved who needs to witness. Our prayers are misworded. Pray for the people to be saved. Jesus said, no, pray for laborers. Hey, put something to the test. I may not be right on this, but I'm just throwing this out because I don't know. I haven't set this up. But put something to the test. Go around and read the missionary letters that are on the walls out there in the foyer in the hallway. And you will find them asking us for people, you know, pray for people to be saved. Pray for such and such to come under conviction and to be saved. But you know what you're also going to read in just about every letter? Pray for somebody to come. Pray for somebody to come. Do you know that right now in the island of Madagascar, amongst 18 million people, there are two independent Baptist missionaries there? Ben and Ashley and Bobby and Joanne. Richard and Charity are on furlough. Two for 18 million. Read the letters. Pray for God to send somebody. Pray for God to touch some heart. Pray for laborers. You say, why the missionaries got it? Why do the missionaries tell us to pray for laborers? Because they're on the front line, pal. They know the need. Many of them know that the harvest is plenteous. If they just had another body or two, skilled laborer, they could get them out there and they could reap more. They could see the harvest come in. They know the need is more laborers. I was breaking down a couple of passages in my mind this week. That Isaiah 6 passage, that famous missions passage where King Uzziah dies and Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up and his train filled the temple and holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And then, you know, Isaiah has the angel come off from the altar and touch the coal on his lips and cleanses him. As you read on through that passage, it's kind of something like this. Let me tell you what it does not say. As you read on through that passage, it does not say that the Lord said, okay, fellas, well, man, good night, you know. There are more people here than I need. I'll tell you what, just wait over here, and there's going to be a place or two open up, and you know, but just be patient because I got more folks than I need right now. That how it goes? Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? The need was laborers. Harvest is plenteous. Jesus said the harvest is plenteous. Argue all you want to. I don't know what you're going to do. I got his words. He said the harvest is plenteous. I was thinking about that passage over there in Matthew chapter 20, the parable of the householder. He goes out at 6 o'clock in the morning. Let me tell you how it does not read. It does not read that the householder went out at 6 o'clock in the morning, went down by the place where all the fellows gather around and say, fellows, I wish I could put you to work today. But really, there's no need for you. And he came back at 9 o'clock in the morning. Fellas, there's nothing. I'm sorry, I wish I could put you to work. And come back at 12 and come back at 3 and then came back at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And each time he came, he said, fellas, I'm sorry, I wish there's something you could do. I don't think that's how the parable reads. I think the parable reads that every time the man came down, at 6 in the morning, 9 in the morning, noontime, 3 in the afternoon, and 5 o'clock in the afternoon with only 1 hour of daylight left, every time he came down, he said, would you please go to work? Would you please go to the field? Would you? Why, folks? Because the harvest is plenty. That's the truth about the harvest. Jesus said, truly. It's plenteous. The laborers are few. You know what? If you're not going to go, pray for somebody to go and let's word our prayers right and word our prayers that God will move on the hearts of people. Every time this man went back, he kept looking for laborers. Laborers, laborers. That's the truth about the harvest. I don't know about you, but I enjoy reading quotes. Famous quotes of all kinds. And you can find all kind of quotes on some websites from missionaries and everything. I've read so many quotes from missionaries that just stir my heart. Oh, they blessed me. But I want to tell you the one that reaches down. You have things that you read every now and again. And I've read that. I read this years ago. But it hasn't changed a lick. A quote, something somebody says will reach down just way deep down and grab your insides and twist you. Let me tell you which one gets me. A missionary said, in the vast plains to the north, I have sometimes seen in the morning sun the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been. When I read that, that just... I'll tell you who said it. His family was up in Scotland, and he was a little fella. The little village church that he attended had a poor year, and the deacons were meeting with the pastor, and they were literally going to dismiss the pastor and find another one. And they were talking to the pastor there in the little village church, and they said, Reverend, it's not been a good year. The church hasn't gone forward a lick. In fact, we've gone backwards, and there's been nothing happening. They said, What is it? What's wrong with the ministry? We're not seeing anything happen here. And the pastor dropped his head. He said, yes, fellas, it has been a lean year. I'll admit that. But don't forget about little Bobby. Don't forget about little Bobby getting saved. And the deacons had forgotten about little Bobby getting saved. Little Bobby, a child, had been saved. And sometime after that, they had a guest come through and preach on the subject of missions. And the missionary that was the guest speaker that was there preaching on the subject of missions, he had some empty straw baskets available. He asked some of the men in the church to take the baskets to the congregation. And he asked the congregation to put something in the basket for missions. The basket came by little Bobby where he was sitting with his family, a very devout, faithful family, but very poor. He was barefooted in the service that night. And when the basket came, little Bobby took the basket and put it on the floor, and he stepped inside the basket. He said, I have nothing to give, but I give myself. Little Bobby's family moved to England sometime after that. He's now young teenage Bobby, and missionaries come through every once in a while. Our preacher preaches on the need for missionaries, and sometime as a young man, Bobby surrendered his heart to go to the mission field. And in October of 1816, Robert Moffat sailed for South Africa. He landed at Cape Town, and for 52 years, he went a little further north in Kuruman. And for 52 years, he labored in Kuruman, South Africa. One of his sons came back to the mission. He had one furlough in 52 years. On that furlough, a young man in England heard him preach and talk about the need for missionaries in South Africa. That young man's name was David Livingston. And David Livingston surrendered to be a missionary, went to Africa, ended up marrying Robert Moffat's daughter. Robert Moffat was there for 52 years. Was a gardener. I read it this afternoon again. Read the story again. He used his gardening as a way to help the natives in the villages, but he never did the garden without preaching to them about Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about. And I guess one reason that this thing reaches down and gets my heart so much is I can see it. I can see that old man. After 52 years. Standing on some kind of higher elevation and looking off to the north and saying, in the vast plain to the north, I have sometimes seen in the morning sun the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been. You know what he was saying? The harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's what Christ said. If I want to have a heart for His harvest, I'm going to have to line up with Him on this. Understand that there, out of that multitude, there's still a great host of folks that would get saved. if we just keep sending them. Sending them with pay, sending them out of our own church. Sending them. Because that's what Jesus said. Our hearts for His harvest. We're going to have to line up with what He said about the truth of the harvest. It's plenteous, the laborers are few. Let's word our prayers right and pray for God to send laborers. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. Would you let the Spirit of God speak to you? Folks, that's so critical. It's so easy for you and me to resist Him, to close the door, to shut it off. But I wonder tonight if He might be moving in our midst just a little bit and trying to tenderize the heart. The harvest is plenteous, folks. Jesus said it was. That's the truth. The laborers are few. If you're not saved, there's no greater place and time for you to come to Christ than tonight. If you're not baptized, now's the time to come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. But if you want a heart for His harvest, you're going to have to line up with Jesus on what He said about the harvest. It's plenteous. We just need more laborers. Let's pray for God to send them. Let's pray for God to help us to send them. Father, bless the invitation tonight. I thank You for Jared and Bernadette. Pretty soon to start out on that road of deputation, Lord, I pray that You'd send some more from our ranks. Reach down in the hearts of some of these elementary school boys. Give us a little Bobby here, Lord. A little Robert Moffat, who puts himself in the basket and says, I'll go, and never looks back and never forgets the call. Help us, O Lord, please. They have a heart for Your harvest. I pray in Jesus' name.